we're really honored to have with us three-time award-winning lecturer and international best-selling author, William Patterson, this evening. What you're saying, I so rarely hear, so I'm really excited that you're saying it. What is the mindset, though, that one has to have to structure a company on the front end in the way that you're talking about? It seems like it requires a certain mindset. What is that, and how do we get that?
A lot of times we have a very selfish mindset about our business. This is my idea. I'm not going to share it with anyone. But I always point out that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, not because he owns 100% of Microsoft, but because he's created millions for so many other people. But the more you understand about businesses and what they should look like as an investor, you understand how you should structure the business properly as an entrepreneur so that you can get capital from investors, so that you can get capital from lenders in order to scale your business and grow it to the next level.
So William R. Patterson joins us on The Drive Home as your trusted source for wealth and business education.
Our guest this week, William R. Patterson, award-winning lecturer and national best-selling author.
He has shared the stage with billionaires, presidential candidates, and Fortune 100 CEOs. What I'm seeing is that you're giving us a short-term and long-term strategy here. There's things here can make a difference in my business, like now, in the next 30, 60, 90 days.
William Patterson, Chicagoan extraordinaire.
He is a business and finance guru.
I'm going to go to William Patterson, and we couldn't have you on a better day.
Losing a home to foreclosure is now almost as common for families as buying a home. But you say this is the best time in 50 years to buy a home or an apartment or an office building.
One of the things that I really appreciate that you're doing is you go out into the community and undress the predatory lending industry.
Talking about money, economics, finances, with one of the best minds in the business,
William Patterson. He is a renowned wealth coach and national best-selling co-author of The Barron's Son. Breakthrough book has been featured in the Forbes Book Club and Black Enterprise Magazine. His website, BarronSeries.com, is winner of the Web Awards for Best Speaker, Best Male Author, and Best Wealth Building Site. He is ranked as the number one business motivational speaker.
An outstanding evening that we have planned for you, another in a series of calls that we have planned to preview some of the incredible talent that will be appearing with us at the Power Networking Conference in Atlanta, June 25th through 27th. Let me just explain a little bit about what FraserNet is, and then I want to formally introduce my co-host for the evening, Veronica Conway. FraserNet is a global leadership network committed to economic development through education, training, and empowerment for Black people. Its focus is to train and to educate and to equip Black people with new skills, new thinking, and new approaches for personal, professional, and financial success in the 21st century. And we have been producing this Power Networking Conference, which is one of our main events annually, for now, and we're in our eighth year. We are really lucky to have with us tonight William Patterson, and he will be formally introduced, none other than my co-host for this evening and for this whole series, Veronica Conway.
Thank you, George. I'm also feeling very excited to be in the presence of our guest tonight, because I think that in this day, in this time, in this era, talking about wealth from someone who knows what they're talking about is right on time. We're really honored to have with us William Patterson this evening, because William is actually a three-time award-winning lecturer and international best-selling author. If you want to check more information out about Mr. Patterson, you can check out www.barronseries.com. Welcome, 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 Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Veronica and George. It's a pleasure to be on the call. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to jump right in, because money is one of my favorite topics on earth, really. It is. And I think that our folks especially need to understand strategically about how to deal with money. And I don't know that I've observed anyway. I mean, I've done some financial coaching myself quite a bit. I don't know that we have actually, as a community, developed strategy, right, in our community around this issue of wealth. I think if we had, we'd have more wealth. So I want to first of all say you're going to be speaking at the 2009 Power Networking Conference. You're going to do two workshops, The Wealth Mindset That Creates Millions, as well as Wealth Secrets, How to Rapidly Achieve Your Financial Dream. So before we get into this place called strategy, William, I'd like to hear from you. What's the pivotal decision that you made early on that set the stage for your current success? We keep talking about strategy on these calls and pivotal decisions, and what's the decision that makes the difference, and what's the game changer? What was that for you?
Absolutely. I'm extremely excited to be participating in this year's Power Networking Conference. This is, I would say, the most important conference for African Americans and people of African descent in the country. So I would encourage everyone to make sure that they do attend the Power Networking Conference for a number of reasons that we'll cover here tonight. And as I move into the pivotal decisions that really propelled me to different levels of success, I would have to say that there were two defining moments. It was, number one, the day that I understood what it meant to be a business owner and an investor, and the second was the day that I understood the principles of value and leverage. And throughout my life, I've been very fortunate to have a number of great mentors and coaches, and I've always been a big advocate of those. I would say that the first moment was a story that I often talk about with my father. At least I asked him for a pair of shoes. They were a pair of new Nikes. They were about $200 at the time. They had a pump on them. You know, it was my goal to be the next Michael Jordan. I'm originally from Chicago, so that was my dream.
But you want the expensive shoes.
Expensive shoes. That made all the difference.
That's right.
So I asked my father. I said, I have to get these shoes. So one of the things that he did, he pulled up a stock chart for Nike. And we looked at that stock chart, and the stock had nearly doubled over a couple of years.
I love that. I love that he did that, because what did you learn in that moment? I love that.
Well, I'll tell you, the next thing he did is he pointed to a beat-up pair of shoes that I had in the corner, and he asked me, he said, tell me, how much do you think those shoes are worth? And I looked at him, I said, probably next to nothing. And then he said, well, tell me, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the stock or the pair of shoes? And it was at that moment that I understood that with every dollar, I was choosing to be rich or poor. And the other key learning was that I could begin to build wealth by moving from being a consumer to being a producer. I could become a person who began to produce products and services, and I could also build wealth by becoming an investor, investing in the companies that produce the products and services that I was wearing, that my friends were wearing. That was a very important moment. And then I also realized that I could begin to build greater wealth by selling stock in the businesses that I created. And that later propelled me on to create a financial holding company and to move into the private equity business, where we would do staged investments in private businesses. So that was really an early portion. So those two lessons that I took out of that were the importance of being a business owner and an investor. Now, the second defining moment was when I really understood the principle of value and leverage. I was working a job. I started out originally in the engineering field and decided to move into the financial arena because I understood that the people who were holding the purse strings had a little bit more power in the company. So I decided to go work for an investment banking firm on Wall Street. I had, at that time, learned a lot about business and finance, and I had done very well in the stock market, and I eventually wanted to move into investment banking. And I called on one of my mentors, who was Chris Williams. He runs the largest black investment bank in Wall Street. And I was having a discussion with him about starting my own business. He had left Lehman Brothers to start his own company. And I just wanted to get some insight before I did it myself. And as I looked at myself and working, I understood this principle of value and leverage, that there was only so much value that I could create as an employee working for someone else. And also leverage. I had no real leverage to create wealth. I could only be compensated based on how much I got paid. But as I moved into my own business, I had more leverage because I had other personnel, I had other contractors and so forth that I could leverage to help me create wealth. And also, I could create greater value by leveraging other people. We could have greater impact. Those are two of the most powerful forms of building wealth, leverage and value. We say that value is the greatest attracting force of money in the world. So if you really want to build wealth, you want to look for ways in which you can deliver the greatest value and benefit to people. And that's usually through your own business.
Well, I want to point back to something that you said a little bit earlier in the call, and that is that even when you thought about starting a business, you started about you did it with the intention of selling stock, which is also leverage, right? Because I think that most of us in our community just start businesses and we end up buying kind of high, you know, fancy jobs. We have to work longer hours because we're in our business and we don't have enough leverage in terms of team. But I'm also hearing you make a distinction about leverage from the standpoint of stock and how that creates more, what, liquidity? Will you say a little bit about that?
Absolutely. One of the things that's really powerful for entrepreneurs that so many of us don't really think about is structuring our businesses properly so that we can bring in outside investors to help us scale our businesses. One of the things that we always tend to say is, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough people, I don't have enough resources. Well, by creating additional value where people can invest in the idea that you have to bring to market, you're able to raise additional capital so that you can hire more people, so that you can get the additional media exposure and so forth. So absolutely, your business, if structured properly, is a huge asset that you can leverage.
Right. But what's the mindset that we need to know to do that? Because it's not a lot of information out there about the possibility of that, but what you're saying, I so rarely hear a brother say this, so I'm really excited that you're saying it. What is the mindset, though, that one has to have to structure a company on the front end in the way that you're talking about? It seems like it requires a certain mindset. What is that, and how do we get that?
Well, I like to equate it to the Bill Gates mindset. A lot of times we have a very selfish mindset about our business. We say, this is our idea, and this is my idea. I'm not going to share it with anyone. But I always point out that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, not because he owns 100% of Microsoft, but because he's created millions for so many other people. So it's about building wealth for other people is the key to help yourself build wealth. So that's why it is important to structure your business in a scalable fashion so that you can bring in investors, so that you can bring in other people to help you run the business, to free your time to focus on those activities that will allow you to grow the business. So it's moving from working, quote, in your business to working on your business.
That's great. And so is that the kind of stuff that you teach in your coaching and in your seminars?
Absolutely. We teach a 5-step action plan for building wealth, where we do get into the nuts and bolts financial strategies, and we do this in a way that will allow you to have the comfort as an entrepreneur to focus on your multi-million dollar idea. There is a balance, and we found that many people who struggle as entrepreneurs typically don't have those sound financial skills, and the people who struggle as investors typically also struggle in the entrepreneurship arena. But the more you understand about businesses and what they should look like as an investor, you understand how you should structure the business properly as an entrepreneur so that you can get capital from investors, so that you can get capital from lenders in order to scale your business and grow it to the next level.
So you're kind of backing into it then, right? You're saying, what would it need to look like at the end to be appealing to an investor, and let me design it that way, as opposed to what I call most people march into their business. But I have a really great idea, and I really want to see it done, so I'm just going to take that first step and get it done. But I kind of hear you say backing into the business.
Absolutely. It's something that Michael Gerber talks about. I talk about it a lot. But it's developing your business with the end in mind, developing it to be sold. One of the ways in which we treat businesses is as though it's a value asset. As entrepreneurs, a lot of people, I would say, we tend to be very poor at saving money for ourselves. But if you structure the business properly from the beginning, it becomes a value asset that appreciates. It becomes a retirement account for you as a entrepreneur. So you have the ability to sell that business. And if you structure it properly, you can sell it for more. And that's what we really want to show you, is how to use vehicles like entrepreneurship, vehicles like the stock market, vehicles like real estate to build greater wealth, so that you don't become just a person who casually invests in things that they don't really understand. You understand the nuts and bolts, and you understand what to look for, quote, under the hood when it comes to investing in a business.
Okay.
William?
Go ahead.
In this crazy stock market, would you advise anyone to invest in the stock market at this moment in time, or would it just depend on how old you are and what stage you are in your financial life? I mean, the stock market is still very volatile. I know you are a big proponent of investing in the market. What advice would you give people about the stock market and how they invest their money right now? I mean, if I had $100,000 of cash to invest, what would your advice be? What percentage would go into the stock market? What would percentage would go into bonds? What percentage would go into safe investments or government funds, that kind of thing? What would you advise?
That's a great question. And one of my responses to that is at least a reasonable percentage of that should go into education. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people lose tens of thousands of dollars because they refuse to buy a 1995 book or pay for a $100 course. I'll tell you, education and leveraging advisors is a very important tool, not necessarily just to rely on their advice, but use them as a way for them to help you find particular, I'd say, stocks or other investment vehicles that fit your criteria. I always say that investment advice should be tailored to your particular circumstances. There are obviously a lot of considerations. You have to look at asset protection. You have to look at estate planning. You have to look at the amount of control that you have over the investment, the potential return, your time horizon, and so forth. So there are a lot of other considerations in order to say this person should definitely be invested in the stock market. But I do say it's always a great time to invest. The question is, what exactly are you investing in, and what direction are you investing in? Unfortunately, a lot of us, we've only been conditioned to invest in one direction, up. So if the stock market's not going up, we're losing money. But there are a lot of different vehicles that you can use to protect the downside risk, and whether those are option strategies or whether those are other derivatives and so forth that you can use. But there are strategies that you can use to protect yourself from downside risk, and we're going to cover a lot of these in the wealth building workshops. But you also want to look for ways in which you can profit from downward moves in the market. Companies go down a lot faster than they go up, and it's usually a lot easier to identify a bad company than it is a good company. So no matter if you are in the real estate arena, if you're in the stock market, or in the general business economy, you want to look for strategies where you can profit from downward moves in the market as well as upwards. But you also want to use your financial intelligence to look at the companies you're invested in to say, are these companies making money? And would I invest in this company at this price today? And if you wouldn't invest in that company at that price today, you probably want to sell that stock. If you are and you have a long enough time horizon, it certainly does make sense to invest in certain companies, absolutely.
So I'm 64. If I was putting $100,000 into investments on Monday, would you advise me to invest in any stocks? Because my time horizon is a lot shorter than someone who is investing $100,000 at 30.
Well, I'll tell you, George, one of the things that we do is we start out with a comprehensive needs assessment and a skills assessment. So we're going to look at all of the different assets that you have and what your particular investment tolerance is, what your time horizon is. The stock market may not be the best vehicle for you. You have a lot of other great resources that are at your disposal, so it may make more sense to pursue some type of entrepreneurial venture to leverage that and get a higher return with less risk and more manageable risk for you. So it really is important to look at that person's total picture to determine the most appropriate vehicle. One of the challenges with just going to a financial advisor is they may only have a certain set of tools available to them, which may be the stock market. So they're always forcing you into stocks, but that may not be the best thing for you in terms of your ability to manage. And that's where I come in as a wealth coach, is to say these are different options that you can further use these other professionals to help you execute that particular strategy. The way I approach it, I'm the coach, and some of those other, the financial advisors, the real estate agents and brokers, are other players on the team that are going to help you score and win.
Right. So it sounds like what you do, William, is you help a client effectively know how to lead the team, right, of advisors, of people that may give more specific content and advice about their strategies and all that. But it sounds like you kind of help organize that.
Absolutely. And then also qualify the types of information that they're being given to understand the risk and the opportunities of that particular advice that they're being. And I want people to understand. I don't want people to invest blindly and not understand the things that they're investing. Because that's how you end up with a lot of the Madoff-type scandals. You have people who don't see these different red flags that come up when it comes to warnings from the SEC. That's how you end up with a lot of investments in the WorldComs and the Enrons, because they don't look at the financial filings that are not that difficult to read, surprisingly. It's just taking the time to do it. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have the time, but it ends up costing them tens and thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So I like that you're saying that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to financial independence. But when you and I were talking recently, you talked about the fact that there might be accelerators, like no matter what your situation, that in this day and age, there may be some financial accelerators Can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. One of the things that we use with our clients, we have over 250 business and financial accelerators that we use to get you to a certain place faster. Whether that's a business opportunity and you want to set up that business, we're able to bring a lot of turnkey solutions that can help you get that business up and running faster. Whether that's access to capital, corporate sponsorship, developing your brands, and so forth, we have a lot of different tools and resources that can help you do that. If you're looking at your financial picture, we have a lot of great financial information and other tools and resources that can help you qualify investments and qualify the types of risks that you're able to take. And by integrating an education component along with those financial accelerators, clients are able to achieve a certain level of success much faster. We've seen clients get businesses up and running in a matter of weeks with thousands of customers. We've seen clients develop long-term assets that we've mentioned in terms of media properties. One of the big things that we always focus on is helping people to use leverage. And when we say leverage, we mean OPE. I'm sure other people have heard of OPM, other people's money. We use other people's everything, resources, time, network, et cetera. So these are the things that you really want to be able to do. But a lot of people say, well, that sounds great, but how do you do it? And the way that you're able to do that is by creating value for other people by developing these value assets. There was a client of mine, when she first came into the program, she asked me, she said, I work in the gap. I know some people who are millionaires, but I don't feel as though I have anything of value that I can offer them that would make them want to listen to me. So the things that we do with that client, we help them develop assets, which may be a mailing list, an audience, which may be a television show, a radio show. Then they're able to approach that person, and whether instead of just saying, I'm such and such an associate from the Gap, you're now saying, I'm executive producer of this particular television show, and I'd like to help you attract more customers for your business by interviewing you about the wonderful products and services that you have. So you're coming to that person from a different level of credibility with an asset that can highlight what's in it for them. Those are the types of strategies and tools and accelerators that we use to get a person to a level where they can deal with people who have larger networks, larger net worth that they can use to invest in your business.
I love the whole idea of OPE, other people's everything. I've never heard that term, and that's fantastic.
William, how do you help people see their value? A lot of people don't see their value. They don't understand their value. We talk about adding value, and a lot of people just don't.
That's a great question.
Yeah, how does a person evaluate or see their value, or do they need really someone like you? Because we all have blind spots or things that we can't see about ourselves. And would they really need someone like a Veronica and like a William and other types of people to help them ferret out what their value really is?
I'll tell you, there are seven major reasons that we found that people struggle financially in our work with tens of thousands of people across the U.S. and abroad, and I'll touch on three of those. Number one is not having a mentor or a coach. I always ask people who are struggling financially or struggling in business, do you have a mentor, a coach, or an advisor, and the answer is always no. The second question is their belief system. Most people do not truly believe in their heart and mind that they can change the condition of their life, starting from where they are. The third reason is their network, which is why the Power Networking Conference is so important. So when it comes to really understanding a person's value, the things that we do, the needs assessment and the skills assessment, we're able to take those experiences and say, this is how you can turn that into a business. This is how you can leverage that as an asset to get to the person who can help you. When we look at things like going to networking conferences and networking events, you start to see other people who are just like you, who started from where you were starting from, and you start to understand how you can leverage the tools, the resources, the knowledge, OPE, how you can leverage that to help you achieve success and that person achieve success and to create greater benefit for a larger number of people. So it's really having a mentor or a coach who changes your belief system because they're doing the deals that you thought were impossible. You're seeing through your network, you're seeing other people doing the deals that you thought were impossible, and they're raising your belief system, and they're raising your idea and expectation of what is possible.
Yeah, well, I love that. You know, part of this series is called Conversations in Black Mastery, and part of what we are examining here and the reason that we're hosting these is because we really believe in modeling, right? If someone else is producing a result that you want to be producing, if you understand their their strategy, if you understand the syntax in which they operate, if you understand how they think about things, then you can duplicate the same results. So it's kind of really what you're talking about, right? It's like if people can get around other people making money, right, that are actually investing and doing the deals, then they can begin to model the behavior, and then therefore model the results, duplicate the results.
You're absolutely right. That's a concept that we definitely explore in our book, The Baron's Son, and we take it one step further. If you understand from a modeling perspective the knowledge that went into producing a certain result, you can actually predict people's behavior and how they will react in certain situations, which allows you to get there with a product, to get there with a service, to make that investment early enough so that you will profit. So it's also using that modeling behavior as for its predictive quality. So that's another way in which you can also use modeling, but it's a critical component of success.
I love it. So I always say to people that, you know, that have the that are doing stuff with money, I always say, if somebody were to drop you in the on a desert island, and you know, you had to start all over again today and create what you created, what would be the most important things that you would choose out of all, because you've obviously learned a lot and know a lot and have done a lot, right? But what are the most important elements of what you've learned that you would be willing that you'd share with our audience?
Well, I would say there are a couple of things. Particularly in this environment, this is really, although it's the greatest financial crises since the Great Depression, this is also the greatest opportunity for people to build wealth since the Great Depression. One of the conversations I had with George before we started this call is the fact that in a recession or in an economic downturn, there are more problems. And if you're in the problem-solving business, you have an opportunity to build a great deal of wealth. So one of the first things I always do, I go around looking for problems. And the things that we'll learn in the Power Networking workshop is how to turn problems into profits. And that is a very important component, whether you're looking at it from an investor standpoint or whether you're looking at it from the standpoint of a business owner. You want to solve problems for specific niche audiences. You want to invest in the companies that are solving problems for specific niche audiences. So those are the things that you really want to do. You also want to leverage your hidden assets. A lot of people are sitting on hidden assets that they don't really know. And whether you're a business owner, one of the big things that we always tell people is to turn their customers, supporters, and partners into advocates. George is a brilliant example of that with what he's done with this year's Power Networking Conference, where he's taken the supporters, he's taken the people who are participating as faculty members, he's taken the people who are participating in the conference as attendees, and he's created a revenue opportunity for them. You have the same opportunity to do that, to take the people who are already around you, who love what you do, who understand you, and view you as a credible person, to turn them into supporters and advocates of your business. And you can create a revenue opportunity through affiliate programs and so forth to push the business. So many people do not, they may set up a little affiliate program, but they don't diligently educate people on how they can push that program forward and create wealth. So it's all about creating value and wealth for other people and solving their problems.
Beautiful.
Very well stated. You know, a quick question, William. So many people have lost money in this current economic climate. How would I protect my money today? What advice would you give people in terms of protecting their money and, where possible, leveraging their assets?
I would say the first thing always is to get help from experts, particularly if you don't feel as though you have that financial intelligence, whether those are people who can help you assess your financial situation. We work with people who literally can't pay their next bill to people who are running billion-dollar corporations. So you do, and all of them get into trouble. Yeah, people think that it's unique. But many people are using outdated models for financial success, whether you're talking about an individual, whether you're talking about a business, or whether you're talking about a government. Many of them are still pursuing outdated models for financial success where they're spending more than they're bringing in. And a lot of people will look at, let's say, these recovery packages and say, why are we spending this money? Well, there comes a point where you have to make investments in order to turn things around. And this is something that we always say, when you're in a recession or when you're in an economic downturn, cutting costs is not always the answer. You can't just cut costs and stick your head in the sand, because there's only so far you can cut costs. You have to ask yourself, how can I increase my income and sustain profitability? That's what you really have to look at. You have to look at the companies that are doing that. And that happens with the financial statements, and that happens with what's known as the management discussion and analysis. And although these things sound complex, they're very easy to read, and the SEC has really pushed for more plain language in these areas. And if you read them, you'll have a tremendous advantage, and this can cut years off of your retirement. And if you leverage these other strategies, you will get your time back. And that's the most important thing, is to get back the 40 and 50 hours a week that you may spend at a job and use that on the thing you're most passionate about, your multi-million dollar idea that'll change the world and create a legacy for future generations.
Let me ask you a quick self-serving question. Should I get my Social Security at 64, or should I wait until I'm 67 when it can be increased, if you wait until 67, or should you get it when you're first eligible for it?
Well, again, that's another question that I definitely have to look at all the other pieces around. It can certainly make sense depending on what else you have going on. One of the things we always say is to look at the opportunities and how you can use that money versus the return. Some people may say, well, hey, you want to wait because it'll be a little bit more. But if you can employ that money at a higher rate of return, it may make sense to invest it. So it is important to look at everything that person brings to the table in terms of their financial situation, their network, their resources, because sometimes that money can be employed in more favorable manners.
One other quick question. Sorry about this, Veronica, but this really piques my curiosity. What are some of the differences, the defining differences between how black folk think about money and investing money and how white folk think about investing money? I mean, you know, you hear all the time that black people, you know, buy cars and rent homes, right? And do we need to reverse that? Well, have you found some differences between our habits and our thinking and our culture and our kitchen table conversation?
I would say yes and no. I think there's a bigger difference between how rich people think about money and poor people think about money. Ooh. Than how black people and white people think about money.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, say more.
Because again, if you look at the government is a great example. You have people that aren't necessarily African Americans running the government, but they'll run it into the ground using these outdated strategies and outdated models. Americans as a whole have a problem when it comes to financial awareness, knowledge, and so forth. And the reason is because our education system is using an outdated model. We don't educate people to an end, and we don't give them these skills and the tools. Most people have spent 12 to 20 years in school learning how to be an employee, but little to no time or money learning how to be an entrepreneur or an investor. And it makes no sense to teach a person about pi, but you don't teach them how to read a stock chart. And even though they're more likely to use that. So one of the things that we do through our youth program and so forth is we do teach those financial management skills. We teach the vision and the concept development so they learn how to create businesses. We teach leadership and cooperation, networking, sales skills, because networking can account for 80% of your success. When it comes to how, quote, black people think and white people think, again, you have wealthy black people and poor black people, wealthy white people and poor white people. There's not really a difference, but there are financial habits of those who are successful. And we're going to be talking about the wealth-building secrets of some of the black business barons, the A.G. Gastons, the Bob Johnsons, the John H. Johnsons, and the specific strategies that they've used to build mega-million-dollar empires and billion-dollar empires, even on to the Reginald Lewis's and the Madam C.J. Walkers. And these are strategies that people can use starting from little or nothing and build great wealth. So it's going to be an exciting time at the conference and something you definitely don't want to miss.
Great. Great. Veronica?
Well, I think...
monopolized the conversation, so you
no, can return. No, it's perfect. It was a great, great question and a great answer. I'm so excited to hear you thinking so clearly about all of this, William. I'd like to hear a little bit about your program and what you offer in your program, just very succinctly, and then I think we can talk a little bit about the conference, George.
Sure. Through the Barron Solution Group and BarronSeries.com, we offer both wealth and business coaching programs, and we show people how they can transform their passion into a viable business. We also show them how they can turn their financial situation around or capitalize on that. We've had a lot of great successes. We've had a young lady who's taken adversity. She was struck with a condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome. She turned that into a viable business where she's helping thousands of women all around the world overcome that condition. I had a young lady, her father passed away from cancer, and she decided to create a foundation and a television show that's going to help children with brain cancer. A lot of great success stories where people are turning adversity into things that are having tremendous impact around the world. Things that people can take advantage of, we had a lot of great workshops, everything from how to overcome debt and build wealth to how to start and run your business the right way, accessing capital, how to obtain government grants, how to add thousands of people to your mailing list, how to generate and maximize profits from your web business, how to build a six-figure speaking business, how to market and promote any business. And these are strategies that I've used to get booked on over 500 television and radio programs. These are strategies that I use to run over 30 websites. I've used to create over 150 products. So these are strategies that definitely work and can be done on a very limited budget, so or any budget, and can be maximized on a larger budget. So great, great resources and tools.
You've got an interesting brand and an interesting handle on your products called the Barron Sun. Just where does that come from? What is that about? That's interesting, fascinating.
Sure.
Easy to remember. The Barron Sun, what is that about?
Well, The Barron Sun is, of course, our best-selling book, and it's the story of a young boy who loses everything and through struggle finds a secret to become the richest, most powerful person in the world. And to talk about the Barron brand and what that means, our approach is unique because it's not just about how do you earn a few more dollars a month or how do you become a millionaire. It's about how do you take an idea, the thing that you're most passionate about, bring support and structure to that idea using the networking strategies and so forth, and how do you turn that into a viable business where you dominate an industry as a baron or a baroness and create a legacy for future generations. So that's what the brand is about. It's about how do you become a baron. How do you become a media baron like Bob Johnson or Oprah Winfrey? How do you become the Madam C.J. Walker? And how do you take that idea and use it to really dominate that industry, create change and benefit and jobs and opportunities for people?
Yeah, that's fascinating. And that is some of the stuff that you cover in the CDs.
Absolutely. We always believe in giving people much more than they pay for, whether that's just by visiting the website, whether that's supporting FraserNet and doing things that are going to benefit themselves. This is a tremendous conference. I can't tell you. In terms of black professionals, I'll just, if I may, just speak for a minute. One of the reasons that a lot of people don't go to conferences and don't think that they're going to get the value out of it is because they don't feel they have the social skills to really maximize that opportunity. I would encourage people to pick up George's book, Click, before you go to the conference. Read that so that you can understand how you can maximize those relationships that you build at the conference. These are things that you really need to do, and if you understand how to network, you're going to see that you can get a tremendous amount of value in terms of the clients that I've personally gotten out of that, the partnerships that I've built. It's amazing. This is the conference that you're going to attend. If there is one conference that I make sure that I attend, it is the Power Networking Conference. I cannot say that any stronger.
Well, William, that thank you for that, the testimony and that endorsement and that edification. You are a brilliant young man with just a lot of incredible advice and ideas and creativity and energy. Your workshop will be packed, and I think you're doing it Friday and Saturday. So those who are on the call tonight, when you come to the conference, be sure to sign up for William's workshop because it will go quickly. And as everybody knows who comes to our conference, we do not have massive workshops. We don't believe that you can get really a lot of things done with 300 or 400 people. We have small group workshops where there's one-on-one interaction where our workshop hosts like William can interact with sort of everybody in the room. So these workshops are up close and personal and hand-to-hand combat, if you will. So be sure if you sign up for the conference, if you're coming to the conference, to sign up for William's workshop. It will be filled to its capacity very early in the conference. Veronica, you have any closing thoughts before I just talk a little bit about the Power Networking Conference and
I just want to say, I want to echo George when I say that, William, I think the work that you're doing is absolutely brilliant and much needed for our community. And I think that you're clear. I don't think I've ever heard, I've heard a lot of financial literacy experts and gurus over the years. I would say that your clarity and your clarity of purpose is really evident. And so, just more power to you and keep up the great work.
Thank you both. You're very kind.
Right. No, it's our honor and pleasure, and we love that kind of commitment, and I certainly do as an elder in the community. I just love seeing young brothers and sisters with the kind of vision and the energy and commitment that you've made to our community to take our people to really where they deserve to be. The conference is coming up again. We're now about 4.5 weeks away. June 25th through 27th at the Marriott Marquis. We have moved from the Hyatt Regency and to the beautiful Marriott Marquis, $130 million renovated Marriott Marquis. And it is just the most spectacular hotel that you could possibly imagine in one of the great destination cities in America, Atlanta. So you want to join us there. And everybody has friends and relatives and extended family in the Atlanta area. We've got some exciting new things that we have not had at our conference over the past several years. There's an elevator pitch Olympics, an elevator pitch Olympics. So if you have a killer idea for business, you need to write that idea out. You get 2 minutes to make a presentation in front of a panel of judges that can evaluate your business idea, and we will then grade your idea on as you get on stage and present it and ask you some questions. You get 2 minutes. You've got to first write out your script and email it to us so that we can review. We're looking at about 100 scripts right now. We're going to pick the best 10 best scripts, and then each person will perform that script at the conference, and the winner will win some very, very, very nice prizes from some of our major sponsors, to include Dell Computer and BlackBerry and a number of other sponsors. So we will help you bring your business to light. So that's our elevator pitch competition. You get 2 minutes to pitch your best idea for your new business, but you have to first write it out. 2 minutes is about 300 words. Then you have to email that to me at gfraser@frasernet.com so that our panel of judges in our office can look at the pitches that we have and select the 10 best, and because we only have time for about 10 to 12 people to make their presentation. So that's a new and exciting feature of the conference this year. Also, we're going to have Dutch treat dinners with the faculty. And so this is the first time we're doing it, and you'll be able to go to dinner with many of the people, like William, maximum of 8 people for the dinner. You have to sign up early, first come, first serve. But this is something, again, to facilitate networking at the conference, because remember, this is the only conference in Black America that focuses specifically not only on economic development and wealth creation and business development and excellence, but networking. All of this is done through networking. So we have Dutch treat dinners this year on Friday night and Saturday night. So some exciting things are going to be happening at the Power Networking Conference. Exciting town hall meeting moderated by Ed Gordon, where we're going to talk about our 10-point economic development plan for Black America. So if you're saying to yourself, you know, I don't know how to access my value, and William talked a little bit about that tonight, I don't know how to access my value. Let's say you're saying that to yourself, or you're saying that you're not sure how to properly position yourself in the marketplace, or you're saying to yourself that people don't see my value, or I don't know how to create buzz about me, or my image and personal brand isn't doing the job, and I need to increase my income, and you know, I don't want to be overlooked again. If you're saying those things to yourself, you really need to come to this conference, because this is where you're going to learn how to access your value, how you're going to learn how to confidently communicate your value, how to get buy-in from others, how to create buzz about yourself, how to position yourself for promotion or a new position, how to make yourself really unforgettable. This is what we want. The people at our conference to aspire to and to learn the skills to do. And you've got great coaches like Veronica Conway and a host of 65 of the top, best and brightest speakers, workshop presenters, panelists who will be convening in Atlanta to bring some of the most important information and the best training and the best ideas and lots of inspiration and lots of fun to you at the conference. So at the conference, you will walk away with some new considerations for how to engage others in your dreams while helping them to achieve their dreams, because that's what networking is about. It's about creating the win-win-win. You're going to walk away with ideas for identifying the critical people that you need to surround yourself with who are dream builders and not dream drainers. You're going to walk away with concrete suggestions and strategies for how to go about attracting these kinds of people into your life, and then you'll have eye-opening insights for how to attract new customers and new referrals and how to tap into new markets, how to increase your sales, how to climb the corporate ladder, how to get government contracts, all exciting workshops, extensive workshops in those specific areas of business development, personal development, and economic development through and wealth creation and closing that income and wealth gap. The value that you will get from the 3 days that you will spend with some of the smartest people on the planet building your network so that you can take your career and you can take your life, you can take your business, you can take your family and take your community to the next level. That is all. We are out of time. We really appreciate you, William, for being on the call. Thank you, everybody, for spending time with us tonight.
This is William R. Patterson, wealth coach and national best-selling co-author of The Barren Son. I hope you found the lessons and insights from this interview enlightening and profitable. I now invite you to complete the information request form in the workshops and coaching section of BarrenSeries.com to learn how you can use Barren Wealth Coaching to rapidly achieve your business and financial goals. At BarrenSeries.com, we've developed one of the most effective, integrated approaches to building wealth in the world. With expert guidance and over 200 accelerators, Barren Wealth Coaching can help you quadruple the speed at which you reach your business and financial goals over planning yourself and other methods and programs. For more information on Barren Wealth Coaching, visit BarrenSeries.com/coaching.htm or call 888-90-BARREN. That's toll free, 888-90-BARON.